Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Tim Versalotti. Well, you know, my life allows for a certain amount of pleasure. And one of the greatest things that I do that really makes me happy is to talk to a guy who's that smart and who's the director of the New England University poll, professor of political science, and a guy who knows so much. I always learn from you, Tim, and thanks for being with us.
Sure.
Okay, so let's. I want to start with a Massachusetts question, which is Senator Warren announces re-election and moves to the Senate Armed Services Committee. What's going on?
It seems like working on parallel tracks, doesn't it? I think her move to the Senate Armed Services Committee was widely viewed as a way to build up her resume in terms of defense and foreign policy issues. And why would a senator want to do that, especially a senator steeped in economic and finance issues? Well, perhaps to position herself for a presidential run in 2020.
Interesting. How old is she?
Yeah, she's 67, going on 68. So what we've seen, at least in this cycle, is that youth is not necessarily a prerequisite for office. In terms of running for public office. So she would be in her early 70s when she made a run, but others have done that as well. I think then turning to announce her reelection campaign was a way of focusing on the here and now. She's up in 2018. No real significant opposition has emerged yet. The one Republican who has expressed interest is the former Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling, who currently and he's kind of a wild card on this because he has said unless his wife vetoes his candidacy. Right now, he does an online talk show on Breitbart.com and appears on broadcast radio from time to time as well. And no one else has emerged, and Senator Warren has $4 million in her campaign account. She raised $42 million to run in 2012. She has a history of being a very effective fundraiser. She would be a tough one to take on.
And, of course, the very interesting concept is that she said when people were begging her to run the last time, she said, no, I won't. And I just always assumed, you know, too lefty, couldn't do it, wasn't gonna be received well. And then came Bernie Sanders. And all of a sudden, I have a feeling her eyes got opened.
Yeah, I think that she is considered someone of the Sanders wing of the party, although she backed Hillary Clinton late in the game, endorsing her this summer and campaigning heavily for her and earning some anger from Sanders supporters and even some protests at some of her speaking engagements in Massachusetts. But she's widely viewed as from that wing of the party and could tap into that same energy, that same frustration that Sanders tapped into so effectively.
Just to entertain ourselves for a minute, what do you think a Trump-Warren thing would look like?
I think it would be fairly entertaining in the sense that in the 2016 cycle, Warren was happy to take on Trump on Twitter and was very effective at getting under his skin. Not actually a very difficult thing to do. Others have done that pretty effectively as well. But she seemed to relish taking him on. And so that would be a very interesting matchup. It's a long way off, though. A lot can happen in the next few years. She is one of the individuals people are keeping their eyes on in terms of the Democrats' bench for 2020. No question about it.
So let me turn to a different question and put your pollster hat on right now. How is Trump doing according to the polls? I heard he's in the 40s now. That's not good, right?
If you compare his favorability coming into office with the favorability of the last few president-elects, so Obama George W. Bush, Bill Clinton. Generally, there is a groundswell of support. The nation comes around, rallies around the winning candidate, and there's a bit of a honeymoon period. But if you look at Trump's favorability ratings, and these are a few weeks old now, they're from mid to early December, he's still underwater. His unfavorability is still higher than his favorability. It has improved since the election. His favorability ratings have approached 39-40%. His unfavorability is still at about 45-46%, at least according to the latest polls. So he's entering office as one of the least popular presidential election winners in recent memory.
Interesting. That is so interesting. Did you track these kinds of things to say, you know, everybody ends up in the beginning not so popular, and then, you know, sometimes they get more popular, sometimes they get less popular? How does a pollster track that kind of thing?
In our American government classes, one of the things we introduce students to is the presidential job approval ratings, and inevitably they slope downward to the right as the months wear on. Most presidents come into office relatively popular, certainly above 50%, 55, 60, 65%. And then generally speaking, they begin to have to make some tough choices, and inevitably their job approval drops over time. It'll spike back up during times of crisis. President Bush saw his approval rating go up into the 90s after the 9/11 attacks and then the country's response in the war in Afghanistan. But generally speaking, you see a downward trend once a president gets into office and has to make tough choices.
Okay, I want to ask you a fast question about Maura Healey. And since Massachusetts is so important to both of us, I live there, you work there, and I keep getting a hearing from people that we are the favored radio station over there, I wanted to ask you about whether Maura Healey would challenge Baker, the fairly popular governor of Massachusetts.
Yeah, what Maura Healey says and what her actions reveal are sometimes two different things. She insists she is running for re-election to Attorney General in 2018, has no interest in taking on Governor Baker. But as the de facto leader of the Democrats in Massachusetts, now one could add to that mantle Elizabeth Warren and then Stan Rosenberg, the Senate president. But Healey has taken a very public profile in recent months, particularly since the presidential election. She has been taking on ExxonMobil. And the Trump administration has a very close connection to ExxonMobil with their nominee, Rex Tillerson, for Secretary of State, ExxonMobil CEO. And Healey has also taken on a more public profile in terms of tracking hate crimes, in terms of standing up for immigrants' rights, setting up a hotline for people to call her office with any sort of bias or discrimination or hate crime complaints or allegations. And so although she says she's not running for governor, her public profile lately has been very intriguing, and she's someone else to watch in 2017 and 2018.
Always wonderful to talk to our pal Tim Versalotti. Professor Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science. When we come back the next time, boy, I have a lot more to talk to you about.
I look forward to it.